Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew, I am, of course, William Ammo. What's up, Mac? How you doing? Hello, Mac. Are you there? Well, Mac should be coming on the air very soon. Hey, Mac, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good.
Yes.
You? I'm good. How you doing?
Doing well, man. How's it going?
All right. I'm gonna feel a lot better if this Kyrie Irving deal goes through to the Knicks, but we're gonna dive into that. We're also gonna talk about the Battleground pay-per-view event, our predictions, the revelation of Kurt Angle's identity of his son. We'll get into that. Also, talk about what's going on with the Mets. As you know, they're on a roll right now. As the trading deadline approaches, along with the Yankees as well. Yankees are doing well as well. We'll get into that as well, and talk about what's going on in the trade rumors surrounding Carmelo Anthony and Kyrie Irving. And most importantly, we're open to any thoughts. Any of you guys would like to have, and you could do that by, of course, calling 917-388-4189. That's 917-388-4189. So feel free to call in, let your voice be heard, and look forward to hearing all of your guys and ladies' thoughts on any of these topics and more. But with further ado, let's dive right into this trade rumor surrounding the Knicks and Carmelo Anthony. And now it takes a new twist. And, of course, now it reportedly might involve Kyrie Irving. And, it's too good to be true. I mean, Kyrie Irving, he's an all-star, a former world champion 2 years ago. And I'll believe it when I see it if this trade does go through. Because, obviously Carmelo Anthony has been rumored to be traded to the Cavs ever since last year. And but the thing that always held it up was whether or not if the Cavs had interest in, dealing with the Knicks. Kevin Love was always rumored to be in that trade, but that trade never fell through. But now, a few days ago, was a shocking revelation that Kyrie Irving wants to be traded to either Spurs, Heat, T-Wolves, or dare I say even the Knicks, which caught me by surprise. Even though he's a New Jersey native, and if that is possible, man, this could really change the complexity of the Knicks franchise. They could be, a future playoff team, with a young superstar player like that, who apparently wants to be out of the shadows of LeBron James, even though looking at it logically, that would be his best chance of winning a title if he sticks with LeBron. So I was very shocked with that news, but hey, if Carmelo Anthony, by all reports, is now okay with waiving the option of him, the trade kicker, which would give him $8.1 million extra on his contract as a result of a trade. And, he agrees to the trade. And this trade will end up sending a player in Kyrie Irving, a young guy in his prime, to the Knicks. I mean, you, as a Knicks man, you have to you have to jump at that trade. You're not going to get a better trade opportunity to get, you know, a star player in his prime back. You know, what's your thoughts on this?
Well, you know, there's still reports saying that Carmelo is still eyeing the Rockets. If he does waive his that no trade clause, so you know, who knows if the Cavs agree to trade Kyrie to the Knicks, if Melo even agrees to it, you know, because it looks like he's eyeing the Rockets more so than the Cavaliers. But
right.
This as far as this Kyrie Irving trade rumors. I mean, let's not get carried away. I mean, Kyrie Irving is a very good player. You know,
absolutely.
He's one of the great scorers in the NBA. But I mean,
absolutely.
Him coming to the Knicks. I mean, remember we've gotten very good players in their prime. Remember Marbury.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, he averaged 20 points, 8 assists. Melo, when he was in Nuggets, came to the Knicks. Mm-hmm. He was in his prime. And look, we're still in the same.
We're still in the same
position
that
we were 15 years ago. So, I mean, I don't think we should get carried away if Kyrie comes over to the Knicks. I mean, because you know, who knows? We might still be in the same position that we've been in the past. So, I don't know. I'm a little. It'd be a great trade to have him here, but I'm a little hesitant too because you know, the guy. Even though he's a great scorer. His defense is still lacking, and he's injury prone. So, you know, there's some concerns there.
That's true. You make a valid point. I mean, you know, but you know, obviously, like you said, with Marbury and Melo, also two guys who are great scorers, and you could even throw in Derrick Rose, who, you know, who's a former MVP. Talented guy,
Stoudemire,
you know, always injury prone. Stoudemire as well. But then again, the difference between those guys and Irving is that Irving has a ring. I mean, he has, you know, obviously he had LeBron James. I mean, the guy has been through the wars of, you know, and came out a champion. So, you know, obviously I'm not making him out to be a messiah or anything like that, but. I mean, he could be one of the main pieces of this organization to try to turn it around and gain some sort of respectability in this league, because, you know, not even Melo, and Melo was one of the talented, you know, guys in the league, but he couldn't draw not even his closest friends to come to New York. So maybe with a younger guy who has that championship, you know, pedigree, you know, winning a title. Maybe he could maybe they could change the horrible stench of, you know, bad basketball that we've been playing and the bad reputation we have around the league. You know what I'm saying? It takes, you know, one guy to change the whole atmosphere of this franchise. I mean, we thought that in Melo. We thought that in Stoudemire, who, you know, obviously he wanted to come, you know, a star player who signed to come with the Knicks. Obviously, he had 100 million reasons to come due to the contract, but the guy looked like he really wanted to change the atmosphere of the organization, and obviously that didn't come to pass. To coincide with your point, your very valid point, but. You know, the Knicks, if they could hold on to Porzingis and hold on to some of these guys, you know, these core guys in this trade, you know, the Knicks could be a decent team. I mean, I'm not saying they're going to be Eastern Conference bound. I'm not going to lie about that. But maybe 3 to 5 years, maybe they could be a respectable team, a respectable organization that could actually lure guys, other star players to come here. But then again, we've been playing this song, the same song since, you know, 2001, and nothing's changed. So we'll see what happens. And like I said, I believe this trade will go down when it happens, you know. And, you know, basically Melo has the keys to the city because Phil Jackson gave him a no-trade clause, a full no-trade clause after he signed them, a player he didn't want to have back on the team. I mean, it just shows you, you know, how, you know, dysfunctional, you know, this organization has been, you know, since 2001, with the exception of 2013 when they actually went to the Eastern Conference Final and lost to the Pacers. But, yeah, man.
That was last time they were actually good.
Go. I know. A sandwich with a bunch of manure-type seasons, you know,
mm-hmm.
including going to the playoffs three times and only winning once within this, 17-year span. I mean, with the exception of the 2013 season, because actually, you know, played a lot better than the Donnie Walsh, Mike Woodson teams. Isn't that a coincidence? The team that had you know, a good coach and a good GM actually, you know, went deep into the playoffs. I mean, what a concept. Instead of hiring people who, you know, yes men, you know, to run your organization, you're actually running people who have basketball experience. I mean, what a concept. But hopefully Scott Perry, you know, a guy who has, you know, a good resume, you know, as a, you know, assistant GM in the league, hopefully he'll have the autonomy. Obviously, it won't be full autonomy because he still has to answer to Steve Mills. Hopefully, he'll have the autonomy to try to turn this team around. But history points otherwise. But, hey, let's see. Let's give this guy a chance. And hopefully, most importantly, let's hope Dolan and Mills give Perry a chance. So we'll see what happens. But, yeah, shifting gears, let's talk about the Mets. And the Mets they've been hot lately. Obviously, it's too little too late, but the Mets have won four straight, capped off with a Wilmer Flores walk-off home run in the bottom of the ninth. Obviously, this was his second career walk-off home run, his first since 2 years ago, a few days, I believe it was 2 days after he was rumored to be traded, to I think the Brewers 2 years ago, and that was 2 days after he, you know, he showed his emotion and pride when he thought he was being traded, and that was the best trade that the Mets didn't do, because since they didn't trade for Gomez, they wound up the next day and traded for Yoenis Cespedes, which, you know, obviously catapulted them to the World Series that year in a losing effort. But, you know, it was a great, you know, a great moment for the, you know, the Mets to finally go to the World Series, first time since 2000. But, fast forward to 2 years, Yoenis Cespedes, a guy who, along with Daniel Murphy, who's now killing the Mets with the Nationals, Yoenis Cespedes, he's been injury prone, you know, especially this year. And, you know, he hasn't been playing well, and to exacerbate this, you know, season that he's having, he recently released an interview. He had an interview recently where he basically was saying that you know, he missed being on the A's. He wants to end his career with the A's, and Bob Melvin, the current manager, you know, is his best manager that he ever had. And this was just before they started the series with the A's on Friday night. So basically it was a weird situation I mean, you gotta, you know, give the guy credit. He's honest, but the timing of his honesty was like really, really, really bad. I mean, the guy isn't playing hard. I mean, if he was actually playing the way he was playing before he got that huge contract, in the off season 2 years ago, then that'd be one thing. But yeah, I mean, he hasn't been hustling at all. And when he is playing, you know, he's getting hurt. Obviously, he can't control that. But it was even evidence of earlier tonight. He hits a foul ball. The ball was like literally right in front of him. He just stood there like a statue. I mean, the Statue of Liberty had more movement than he did. He just stood there and let himself get tagged. The guy, the catcher, literally had to. He bent down, tagged him without the ball, picked up the ball, the baseball with the other hand, tagged him, and he still stood there motionless. And all he did was just took off his hat, you know, showing his new green dye hair, and basically walked off the field and basically didn't give a crap, you know. I mean, it's sad. Yeah. You know, I mean, Cespedes, man, this guy was a lot of potential, man, the power of the team, and now he's just short-fused now. I mean, he needs to get his act together again, and that was
send him back
the
to
major.
Oakland.
I know. I mean, it's ridiculous, but he has a full no trade clause. Well, I mean, by his comments, I guess he would welcome a trade to Oakland, but yeah, it's just messed up. I mean, he did after the win, the 7-5 win on Friday night, where Conforto hit two home runs and drived in four Friday night. He did backtrack from his statement saying that, you know, he loved playing here, and you know he basically backtracked. And then fast forward to tonight's game, Mets was down 5-0 because Zach Wheeler, his struggles, his recent season struggles continued, and he gave up 5 runs, and basically Mets came back from a 5-0 deficit, highlighted by a Jay Bruce 2-run home run, and Reyes doubling, Reyes hitting 2 doubles. First time he hit 2 doubles since, what, I'd say 5 years ago as a member of the Marlins, and then, what, 6 years, you know, in his last season as a Met, where he won the batting title that year. So, I mean, Reyes is getting hot. TJ Rivera, he's still smoking the ball. And the night was capped off. Not to mention Lucas Duda also tied the game in the eighth inning to get the Mets to let the Mets tie the game up. And then Wilmer Flores, bottom of the ninth, hits the home run, and everybody goes home happy. So congratulations to Wilmer Flores, and Mets are going to try to sweep the series against the A's, which will cap off the regular season rematch between two teams that face each other in the 73 World Series. So, hopefully the Mets can keep it going. And as a result, you know, of the Mets season, the Mets are rumored to be trading Bruce, Addison Reed, who has the most trade value than anybody on the team, and even Granderson, who's on the last year of his contract. So, yeah, it's a lost season, you know. Basically, Mets are going to try to trade off as many veterans as they can and try to regroup next year. But, I'd like to see him hold on to Reed, but, I mean, I understand he has the biggest trade value, so you gotta trade him and see if you can re-sign him in the off season. And I hope that's the same for Bruce, because Bruce, I mean, he's actually producing. He has 25 home runs. So I'm hoping, you know, if they trade those guys, which even Jay Bruce said the Mets would be crazy not to trade him, they got to get value back for him, you know. So
yeah.
Hopefully they can trade those guys and get them back, you know, in the offseason. Shifting gears with the Yankees. The Yankees, they're riding high. And the Yankees are, you know, on their playoff hunt. And they're playing right now. What's going on with the Yankees?
Yes, right now the Yankees top seventh, playing the Mariners in a four-game series. This is game three. We've won the first two games of the series. Last night we won 5-1 behind Judge's three-run home run that broke the Statcast. And he hit another home run today. So right now we're trying to cut into this lead. We're down 4-3, top seventh. So hopefully we could try to win this game and win this series. And another game to go tomorrow. So Yankees have been playing well. Aaron Judge struggled a little bit out of the gate after the All-Star game,
right.
But he's kind of regained his momentum here with these two home runs the last few days and getting some hits here and there. So looks like he's snapping out of this slump, and Yankees just have to maintain the this race with the Red Sox for the division. Currently, they're 3.5 games behind the Red Sox, and they're leading the wild card. So. Yankees, yeah, just got to start winning series again.
Absolutely. And, you know, the Yankees are going to do their thing. And, yeah, we was worried about that, about, like we were talking about last week, we were worried that Judge would have a, you know, home run derby slump, you know, because as we mentioned before, you know, Bobby Abreu, Ryan Howard, they had slumps after they, you know, they won the home run derby. So
yeah.
It's good for the Yankees that Judge was able to shake out of it and go back to his old ways.
Yeah.
And as a result, they're gonna try to win this series tonight and potentially go for the sweep if they could hold on to this win tonight. But shifting gears to WWE, they revealed that on Raw that Kurt Angle is the father of Jason Jordan, which, you know, I was, you know, somewhat surprised because, you know, I was assuming they were going to pick Chad Gable. But when I think about it, when I saw Chad Gable, you know, debuted, you know, with Jason Jordan on American Alpha, you know, I always thought Jason Jordan did look like Kurt Angle, you know, a black version of Kurt Angle. So, not to mention they have the same gear as him. So,
yeah,
I mean, it fit, you know, fit the gimmick, you know. And I'm interested to see how it's gonna play out. What about you?
Very interesting. Yeah, it's very interesting. I mean, you know, I never knew Kurt Angle like the black girls like that, but
it's true.
it's true. Yeah. But yeah, it is. It's an interesting plot line. I'm interested to see how it plays out over the next few weeks.
Absolutely. And shifting gears to SmackDown, and, you know, they're going to have their Battleground pay-per-view event coming up. So, let's dive into it. Breezango, they're going to find out who's been attacking them and destroyed Fandango's horse, Tully. So they're going to find out who's, you know, finally behind it. We'll definitely find out about that. I don't know if it's going to be the Usos or maybe – I don't think it'll be a dissension because the Ascension, they kind of teased that already. But, we'll definitely find out about that. also on the show, have Aiden Inglis versus Ty Dillinger. I definitely think Ty Dillinger is going to definitely win that match because Aiden Inglis, you know, ever since that his tag team got dismembered after his former tag team, Simon Gotch, got released, you know, from WWE, he's basically been an opera singer. And, yeah, basically, you know, Ty Dillinger is definitely going to win that match. What you think?
Yeah, I'm going with Ty Dillinger on that one as well.
All right, moving on to the main card. Baron Corbin versus Shinsuke Nakamura. I can see it going either way. I was initially going to say Nakamura, but I think Baron Corbin's going to win, and then this will continue the feud. The feud will probably cap off at SummerSlam. So I'm going to pick, for that reason, I'm going to pick Baron Corbin. What about you?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Baron Corbin. As much as I like Nakamura, I think Corbin's going to get the win.
All right. Moving on to Sami Zayn versus Mike Kanellis, formerly known as Mike Bennett. He's going to go off against Sami Zayn. Hands down, Mike Kanellis, I should say, he's definitely going to win this match with interference of Maria. What about you?
Yeah. I mean, this is his debut pay-per-view match, so
yeah, absolutely.
I think he's definitely going to win, too.
Yeah, and plus with Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn's a talented guy, but WWE is, you know, basically going to leave him in mid-card purgatory, basically. So
yep.
That's just the way it is, even though he's a fan favorite. Then you move on with New Day versus Usos. I think the Usos are going to retain the title for just this one more pay-per-view event. And New Day is going to come close, but Usos are going to come through. How about you?
You know, it's... Yeah. Yeah, this is a tough one.
I know.
I could see the... Man, I could see the New Day winning it.
I could see it too.
See,
I know. That's...
Yeah,
this
it could go either way. I could see New Day winning it.
Yeah, I know. This is probably the toughest match that I could determine who's going to win from the night, probably. Or maybe Shinsuke Nakamura and the Baron Corbin would be on that level as well, I'd say.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm sticking. I think Usos is going to win this one. It's going to retain it. Flag match, Cena, Rusev. Cena's going to win this. But it would make more sense for Rusev to win, to try to build up his character, because he should be in the spot that Jinder Mahal is in as the foreigner, anti-American who's a champion. If Rusev was the champion instead of Jinder Mahal, I don't think people would be complaining about Jinder Mahal's, his rise to the top, because this should have been. This match should have been Cena versus Jinder Mahal, and you could have built up Jinder Mahal to that championship caliber level instead of them rushing
him. Well, that's
him.
Eventually what's going to happen, most likely.
Wait, what?
Going to have Jinder Mahal versus Cena very soon here.
Right, at WrestleMania. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you reminded me of that, right? That is true. That is the rumor going out there. But I think Rusev should have been in the championship, should have been the champion instead of Jinder Mahal. And then you would have had them build up to that. But, you know, this is WWE. You know, I'm not Vince McMahon, so it's just
my opinion.
Yeah,
but then again,
opinion.
If you think about it, I mean, when Rusev first came in, he pretty much was Jinder Mahal. I mean, he pretty much the Russian, anti-America. He had that whole gimmick, you know, for a while.
Right.
You know, so I mean,
it's still a gimmick
that.
Right now. It's still
true.
A gimmick because it's a flag match. It's Cena versus Rusev for the flag match, which Cena's gonna win that one, which we all agree with that one. Then you got United States title, AJ Styles versus Kevin Owens. AJ Styles gonna retain it. You know, after his shocking win at MSG in a live event. AJ Styles going to hold on to it. And if you remember, at the Money in the Bank pay-per-view event, they teased a possible Nakamura versus AJ Styles match. And as a matter of fact, even on SmackDown, Nakamura was hinting that he wants to go for the United States title. So, you know, that's something to, you know, keep an eye on for a possible WrestleMania matchup between the two New Japan legends.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, I think AJ Styles is going to retain the title also.
Yep. No doubt about that. And then you got the final five-way elimination match to determine the number one contender for the SmackDown Women's title, which is currently held by Naomi. You got Tamina, Natalya, Lana, Charlotte Flair, and Becky Lynch. I guess I would bet Charlotte to win, but anybody other than Lana, I could see winning. To be honest with you, and you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean I'm gonna go with Charlotte.
Yeah, so we're in agreement with that one. Definitely in agreement with that one. But it would be nice to see Becky Lynch get the number one contender shot. But I don't see them have. Yeah, I don't see it happening though. Because Naomi is still good. I mean, I don't know. You rarely have two good people fighting each other. Even though Charlotte's technically good now, after the welcoming committee beat her up, a few months ago when she joined SmackDown. But
yeah,
Charlotte could easily turn back into a heel again.
Yeah, I think it'll be Charlotte.
And then last but not least, you got the Punjabi prison match between Jinder Mahal and Randy Orton for the WWE title. And this match is tailor-made for Jinder Mahal. In normal cases, I would pick Randy Orton to win. But, wow, I'm just kind of on the fence with this. I think Jinder Mahal is going to win. But then again, could Randy Orton win this match, and then Jinder Mahal gets the title back, maybe SummerSlam or Survivor Series or something like that? I don't know. It's just, I'm thinking Jinder Mahal is going to win. I guess I'm going to stick with Jinder Mahal winning, even though I could see Randy Orton winning. But, yeah, you know, I'm going to stick with Jinder Mahal winning. And hopefully end this feud between these guys. Because this is like one of the most boringest, feuds for the title ever that I've ever seen.
I think, I could see Randy Orton winning it and Jinder Mahal getting it back at SummerSlam. I could see that happening.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm on the fence. Because I could see it happening.
What about Randy Orton?
I know. Man. You know, gosh. I think you're right, though. That's a problem. I really think you're right. And I think that's the problem with WWE right now. That's the problem with WWE right now, because if you take away the whole anti-American thing Jinder Mahal is doing, you know, Jinder Mahal should be the underdog, and Jinder Mahal should be the good guy, and Randy Orton should be the bad guy. Randy Orton is a 14-time champion, 13-time, 14-time champion. He can't be the underdog. He won the title like 14 times. How is he the underdog? Jinder Mahal is on his first title reign. Nobody believes he's a legitimate champion for the most part. So he should be the underdog, and he should be the good guy. And Randy Orton should be the villain. You know what I'm saying? But
yeah,
WWE is like backwards. So I mean, it just doesn't really make any sense. It makes sense as the CM Punk versus Big Show Shredded Society feud that they had. The bad guy is the one in, you know, disadvantage, and the good guy is the more powerful, more well-known guy. It just doesn't make any sense to me. But you know what? I hate changing my mind in the middle of a debate, but I guess I'm gonna have to pick Randy Orton, man. I'm gonna pick Randy Orton to win. So
yeah,
this is what I said for the past 5 minutes. But yeah, basically my mind got changed again. Randy Orton will win.
And, you know, and maybe Randy Orton wins. You know, he doesn't win the title. He wins maybe by, I don't know.
No, I don't think there's a disqualification. This is like a no-holds-barred kind of match. It's a Punjabi prison match. It's like a, you know, Hell in the Cell with bamboo, you know? There's no rule.
Right.
They even said that multiple times. There's no rule. So there can't be no silly disqualification win rules there. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess Randy Orton's going to win. Unless, barring Great Khali coming out of retirement, that cost him the title. I mean, cost him a title opportunity. I guess Randy Orton's gonna win. Unfortunately, I mean, I don't want neither one of these guys as champion, to be honest with you. But it is what it is. So, yeah, I guess we'll see what happens. Anything you'd like to say?
Last week I mentioned I had a big announcement. And big announcement is my show, iMac, will be coming back Saturday, September 9th.
Congratulations. So, you heard it first.
Yeah. I'll be back after how many months have iMac been off air? I can't even think.
It's probably been since what? September, October? Probably October, maybe.
Oh, last year, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been a while, so.
It's almost been a year.
Almost been a year, yeah. So I'll be making the return September 9th. So I'll have more information for you in the upcoming weeks.
Cool. We look forward to seeing iMac returns only on Block Talk Radio. So, welcome back. Welcome back, man. And there's no better way to end the show, man. I want to thank you, Max, for coming on the show, as always.
Thank you.
And, of course, I also want to thank you all, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to another episode of Sports Urban Legend. He's Macaulay Matthew. I'm still William Ramo, and I'll see you guys next time. Peace. Oh, but before you go, what's the score in the Yankee game?
The score is still 4-3.
4-3
in the bottom seventh inning. Actually, sorry, top eighth.
Cool. Well, with that, we'll see you guys next time. Peace, guys.